Welcome to the Chasing Brighter podcast.
You're about to go on a journey of self-discovery as we chase a brighter you. Every single week, we will bring you new episodes that will cover everything from lifestyle and tips to more serious conversations about grief, life, and hardships.
Allow this show to be a reminder to always keep chasing a brighter version of you. Let's get into it.
Hi, Kelly. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jess. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm thriving. I'm doing better. All the crazy is winding down. I think about two more weeks of crazy. This is Gabby's last week of softball for high school, unless her team
goes to the playoffs.
But we're like, fingers crossed, our record, we won't go to the playoffs. But if we like win a couple games this week, we might. And Gabby takes her driving test.
Oh, exciting.
Very exciting. I'm working really hard not to be tough on myself because we didn't have all the right, correct stuff for her to take her test in the first place. And they were booked out 5 weeks. And so I'm trying really hard not to relive that and be tough on myself and just move forward and
just bring two copies of everything and over document. And
One of the things
that would give me anxiety, though.
I'm stressed. One of the things I want to talk about is that we follow Alex Light, who is a huge body confidence advocate. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I wanted to talk about, Arsenal is a soccer, right? Soccer club. And Declan Rice is a footballer in old England. And he is married to his high school sweetheart or his girlfriend. Okay. And she removed her account from viral bullying. Her name is Lauren Fryer. This is what she looks like, which I don't think it matters what she looks like. Okay. So he just signed like a huge contract to make a whole bunch of money and everybody is going after her because of the size of her body, to the point that she had to take down all of her Instagram account because people were like bullying her and saying horrible things to her. And there is an interview where he is asked in a post-game interview, now that you signed this new contract, are you going to upgrade your girlfriend? They literally asked him that.
So did you watch David Beckham's documentary?
Yes.
On Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
So having watched that, I'm not surprised at this. I think that the
paparazzi, the culture, in England there.
The culture in that area of the world, they are obsessed with soccer. Obsessed. Mm-hmm. And the media too, even going through Harry, right? The tabloids are just ruthless, terrible people. And they do it to sell, which means people are buying that crap.
But it's like the idea that if you're doing well, clearly you would have a thin person on your arm.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. It's they have a baby together too. What the F is wrong with people?
I agree. What was his response? Was he like,
I wish he would have been like,
yes,
I'm not
setting an example,
fucking talking you assholes. He said, I am like in love. I am incredibly in love with my wife wife, girlfriend, partner. She is perfect and there's no way I'd ever be able to upgrade. Something like that. Like he responded like, there's no possible way I could upgrade because the person I'm with is amazing.
I appreciate
right.
that. And Where is the, and I guess maybe that is some of the backlash now, which is like people standing up to be like, size doesn't matter. Why do you think size has
to matter? Just would have said, because they didn't say her size in that question, but it's, she's getting all of this bullying about her size and people are literally commenting saying, why don't you get a thin girl, blah, 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 blah. But it's, I wish he would have been like, I'm not, like, you guys are assholes and I'm not fucking answering this question. Like, that's just such an inappropriate, idiotic question.
Yeah.
People are dumb.
Yeah,
but
that's terrible.
But there was an outpouring of support for her, but it,
yeah.
I hear what you're saying, like, in that culture where the media is and stuff like that, but it, makes me think, is that going to get in the way of her relationship? And like, how would I feel if I was like happily with a person and had a little baby and we were so happy, and then everyone started saying really horrible things about my body? Because sometimes I think it's like, we just don't need to be talking about bodies anymore. Like, what that's doing to her mental health and her well-being is so horrible.
It's selling content. Yeah. It's getting clickbait. So the best thing that we can do is to ignore it as a society, like world society, is it's like, the only reason that's going anywhere is because somewhere somebody's making money on that information. And they realize people want to hear that.
But it does also do damage. If you think about us when we were children, and this is in the media, and this is things that we're being exposed to, then it will impact us.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, it is absolutely despicable. I feel absolutely terrible for that, for her. Mm-hmm. And I know that kind of like this too shall pass in some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's really unfortunate. And I think that's why some people try, I know, I'm sure even for them, they try so hard to not be in the public eye. The reason why a lot of people don't want to be in the public eye is because things happen that you get to see, they just are relentless and unforgiving.
I know that the similar things happened with the wife of the Chiefs quarterback, right?
Brittany?
Yeah.
Mahomes.
Nice. She's like a retired professional soccer player. She's like incredible and amazing. And they treat her like she's an idiot arm candy who's a bitch, and they create all that stuff for her.
And this is where we need to just, I actually have been spending a lot of time with like on women's networking activities.
Yeah.
And the last couple of weeks I went to two different events. And I think the message in hindsight for this is, we as women, we have to have each other's backs, and we have to set
totally
an example all the time on that, and push back when men are saying things. It's not okay to comment about another woman's figure in that way, because we need to try to continue to change the world one conversation at a time with these types of things.
It's like pushing into patriarchy. I have had talks with my daughter who may have said comments that, is slut shaming a word? I don't know what the term
anymore. Conditioned.
But when she says, this is a comment, I'm like, can we just like support women? I'm like, women support women. Because I think that only hurts us, right? When we divide. So 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Criticizing anyone in a lot of ways, we're all doing the best we can. And I think it's just really sad that we are in this world right now where people prey on others and they make money off of it.
Yeah.
And it feeds into this frenzy that needs to stop.
Yeah. So. And I watch, there's just a lot of, and maybe whatever, that's the algorithm, but like body shaming things. So another thing that came across was, we follow the Very Merry Life, and she was like, this is my morning. And she cut off like a popsicle, one of those little Otter Pops, and cut off the top, and gave it to her two-year-old, her scooted in. She scooted in the kitchen, and she goes, this is my day. This is breakfast. This is what we're doing. And a person commented and said, you're setting up your child for an unhealthy life. And I noticed that your child looks a little chubby, and they're already like a weight or whatever. Her daughter is two. She's 2 years old. She's two. So she wrote a beautiful poem, and then everyone was talking about it. It's like, what is the matter with people? Because when we see that, then it thinks it's okay that we can comment about. And it's we don't need to comment about other people.
You don't know everybody's story either.
Shut up. But if you're intentional, you talk so much about being intentional. Let me sit and think about the intention of what I'm doing and where I'm going with this. And if it's not to spread love, light, and positivity, then maybe we just need to zip it.
Yes. Yes. I think that's a fair point, that I think it's easy. Misery loves company. It's easy to be drawn down into that type of conversation instead of trying to stay up. Remember what Michelle says, when they go low, we say hi, and really try to keep at that level.
Yeah, totally. The one last thing I had a question for, I wanted to talk to you about. Your oldest, Wes, is like very social, right? Charismatic, social, lots of friends. As he's getting older, because this started happening maybe more for high school for Gabby, that when she was younger, her and her friends didn't talk about anything like important. I would say not important. Didn't talk about deep things, about what's happening in their home. And as she's gotten older, the friends share more that's happening in their home. Does that ever happen for Wes to his friends? Does he talk about other people's like emotional state or how things are in other people's homes, or that's not happening yet?
It's not happening yet. He, while he's social, he doesn't a lot in that way. There's not deeper conversations.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed in that in some way. Like I had a parent meeting last week, I think it was in the previous couple weeks or whatever. And one of the parents that came over brought one of his classmates, actually two girls were over. And I didn't know they were coming over. I didn't have time to prep Wes. And I actually haven't debriefed him on this. But he was downstairs playing video games, which is what he wanted to do. And I was like, hey, these girls are over, like, come up here and talk to them. And he may have a limited period of time he was up there conversing with them in some way. But then he went right back down to playing video games. Mm-hmm. And I was like trying to figure out as a parent, like, how much do I like control him and be like, you guys need to grab some cards. Like, you guys need to play together. You need to figure out how to talk to other girls and be okay with, because it's not like they're just classmates and they know each other, blah, blah, blah. But like, there's no conversation.
Also, they might like video games, right? Did he invite them?
There was no conversation about any.
Dominic would just slowly disappear.
And so I think he was like, first of all, he was mentally not ready
right.
to do that. And so in hindsight, there was that. But going forward, I really feel like that was such a missed opportunity for him to learn to socialize in a way that maybe he doesn't have that skill set yet. So, But going back to your original question, anything that has happened where Wes becomes aware of something with somebody else, he doesn't say jack. He keeps it very quiet. Mm. He keeps it to himself. He's a very kind soul, but doesn't let it weigh on him either. So it'd be like, Mom, this is happening with this kid. Or it's very clear, like he knows even certain kids in his class where he, let's say, or friends he's had in the past, where something isn't, he just knows based on what he's observed, like something's not right there. And so he manages his like mitigating risks with like situations and how things are happening to not get too involved.
Yeah. I think it's also just going back to the girls being over an awkward age. For instance, Gabby was on a softball team and there is a girl that is Dominic's age and they palled around all the time. Fourth grade, fifth grade. Piled around all the time. I even think they text each other. And I know Gabby texts her. And they went to see Gabby's game. And I said, Dom, come say hi. And they wouldn't even look at each other or talk to each other now. And it was like, when you're young, you don't really pay attention to that dynamic. And then as they're older, it's now they wouldn't.
I don't know what it is.
They're like the best of friends.
Like Wes, we changed schools because Wes was in summer camp with three girls who are now in his class. And maybe it was more, but let's just go with three. There were girls in his now class who were there. He spent the whole summer hanging out with them, right? Come home, talk about them a little bit here and there. Not like what they did or just, okay, I hung out with these girls, whatever. And they were just genuine friends, right? He decided, I had him ask them what they thought about school. They convinced him to go. We then moved to said school. For many months, they were all hanging out at the lunch tables, boys and girls. Yeah. I was like, this is amazing. So great. Things happened. There were fallout. There was a bullying thing that happened too. Now that class is 100% like boys hang out together.
And when you say you don't know what happens, I actually do know what possibly happens. For Dominic in fifth grade, there was a girl that he was friends with. And then she started writing him letters and said, I like you. And when that happened to him in fourth grade, he told the girl, I just want to be friends. She stopped talking to him and all of the female friends hated him because he said, I don't like you like that. I just want to be your friend. And then in fifth grade, when that happened, and then he's gotten so paranoid with the opposite gender because he doesn't want to give them any kind of impression that he likes them, because in the past, when they started liking him, then it caused drama. So I think that plays a role at that age when everyone's exploring and experimenting too.
That's an interesting point. I'll see. I think it's just a different dynamic because there are a lot of kids. Like, I think there are other people who have different like dynamics in their kid's school or their class that it's like just different. And I want, I think what I want is both all of my kids to be able to just be good friends and then not be afraid to be friends with girls or whatever. He's friends with a couple girls. I think he's more hesitant on it. To your point.
Yeah. I'm wondering if that will change in high school. I was just asking because I was just going to say that Gabby is coming home with. Gabby's incredibly empathic and also running around school trying to save everybody and just coming back with all the stuff that's happening in her friends' homes, which then is upsetting to me. And we didn't hear any of that until like she was a freshman and then they're talking about what's happening with their friends and it makes you sad. Right. It makes you sad because in our home, we just would handle it differently with love and care. Even when we're going to be talking in June with our friend Kathy, when kids start coming out, when kids identify non-binary, when kids are trans, when that kind of starts happening more sometimes in adolescence, middle school, high school, and then the parents aren't responding with love, that's hard to hear. And so just more is coming back about the home lives of her friends, which is, I think as a parent, it's hard sometimes to hear too.
Yeah. And it isn't always just that. I think as a parent, other parents who maybe there isn't that, it doesn't seem like there's that love and kindness happening all the time.
Yeah.
And granted, I'm not always great with my kids.
No,
but there's some
I say
where
that
you can
too. I'm not perfect like, in any way.
When parents are like super stressed out and there's a lot going on and the kid just gets lost in the shuffle and it's really hard to see.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's, I feel like I wasn't as aware of that until Gabby started progressing in the grades because maybe she wasn't aware of it. And now they feel they have the words and the emotional maturity to be able to express that to each other. And then it's coming home. So anyways, I just wanted to just touch on that a little bit. And like you said, we could just raise our kids. Like I tell Gabby, we can't save everybody. We have to be careful. We have limited emotional energy, limited resources. And so we have to be very careful that we're not running around trying to save everybody. So
yeah, there's one thing I want to talk about before we wrap up here. And that is in where I live in my geographic area and my children play outdoor sports. And I truly believe the absolute worst situation in sports is to be watching your child when it is 40 degrees or below, cold, blowing, raining, sleeting, snowing. Okay. It is the absolute most horrendous thing. And I know you, Jess, I don't care if it's 120. There is no way 120 can trump cold, windy, rainy. What do you think?
No, and I can't even relate to anything that's coming out of your mouth.
I hope you are like, it's like me speaking Mandarin or something.
No,
right
because
now.
We do. What's so funny, why is cold worse? Because I'm like, am I prepared for summer? Because it's 115 every time. I'm sure we're miserable, but it gets, when it's cold here, we just don't get obviously the precipitation that you do. But I could just imagine that is miserable.
Awful. Yeah. And we have our cold weather gear. Great. You got that. But when it's raining, it doesn't work. I think that I realized that Brian bought like rain gear, like he bought rain pants. You need to have rain pants, people.
So like, was it too windy to have a pop-up tent to protect you from the rain?
The rain was blowing sideways.
That's what I wondered. Okay.
Yeah. And there wasn't really a space for it because we're at a tournament.
Do you know what people have here? People have to have those here, Kelly.
Those little huts?
Pop up. Yeah.
I was thinking about that.
Yes.
I think Brian would disown me.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain... So I think as a sports parent, you have to gauge like what's your level of equipment investments?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so some people have a lot of different things. What I was looking at is a giant... What I want is a giant... waterproof poncho.
Okay.
That is like fleece lined on the inside. But I realized like maybe I don't because I need another layer in there. So I've got to figure out like what.
You know, mom has the Snuggie and
but
they
you need
are
a waterproof
horrible
on top
to
of
look
that.
At. So I'm wondering, is it a Snuggie and then a poncho.
And then you put a poncho over it, I'm thinking. I think that might be the way to go. I'm also thinking I should invest hundreds of dollars in all of these things because then it will be 80 degrees the rest of the season because I will have purchased things and never used them.
No, yes. 100%.
So I need to order it.
Yeah, I bought like a hoodie or something for one of the sports. And then now we're in the 80s, 90s at this time.
It was really funny because one of the moms came over to me and she was like talking and then she was like quiet. And she was like, this isn't really pleasant. I was like, no, this is absolutely awful. And we are all trying not to die. That's just why nobody's talking to each other. We're all sitting there.
What compounded it and made it so horrible for you is that you were an hour and a half from home and it was sunny and 70. At your house.
Oh my God.
Or you.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I turned into our alley.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't looking at the temperature on the car. And I was like, that's weird. Why is my neighbor wearing shorts? Because in my brain,
you guys are wearing right pants.
I was like so angry about the whole situation because I was like, we ruined our entire weekend. It was nice on the Saturday. It was actually nice on the Saturday. But
when you talk about that gear, a lot of people have the heated chairs, the heated vest, the heated pants, the heated whatnots, the rain pants. I was going to say what we have here, it's very weird. Maybe the meteor term for this, but not necessarily like a cyclone. So the other day, Gio had a game and everyone was warming up and it was pretty warm and sunny out. And the family set up a pop-up tent and we're just sitting there and all of a sudden, wind comes in. I don't even know. 100 mile an hour wind came in 60 seconds. It was just 60 seconds. Whipped up, tore. Kelly, their pop-up tent was torn to shreds. It snapped.
Isn't it called like a El Diablo or something?
I don't know. It just shredded it. Like their whole pop-up tent was like ruined. It bent. It the wind, and then the wind went away. It was less than 60 seconds of this really strong wind that tore up their pop-up tent, which they can never use again. A squall, and it's like short.
Yep. It's a sudden sharp increase in wind speed lasting minutes.
Yeah, but it was crazy because you talk about they were just getting all their gear up. And it was like, I saw wind in the forecast. And we get a lot of wind here. That's when it's miserable. Like you're just getting all the dirt on the field on your face.
Yeah.
And so we can't put our pop-up tent because we have had our pop-up tent in the wind and it was ruined. The whole thing was ruined. And so if it's hot, sunny, and windy, you just got to sit in it because anything you would try to use to protect yourself would be ruined. But yeah, we're exposed to the elements there.
Yes. Yeah. And I think really for all of us, we absolutely love watching our kids play because we could just go home, warm up and not be there. So I want to like enjoy it myself personally while watching them. So
how
can I enjoy this? I need to figure out how to manage my sit.
I saw like an incredible thing about athletes and what kind of employees they make and why people hire athletes and things like that. And I do think that type of weather then creates, I think, a less rigid and more flexible human because you've got to just get things done in different elements.
Yeah, I do remember. I think that's right, because for a long time until childbirth, one of the worst experiences I had was, were you with me when you had to
jump the box?
Sorry. No, when we had to volunteer for Salvation Army bell ringers in Hutch.
Yes. Yeah.
For 4-H. And it was like, I just remember being so freezing cold. And I don't even know how long we were out there, but it was really grueling. And it was, for me, it stuck in my mind as like one of the worst experiences of my life because it was so cold. And so I think maybe it does help kids put it in perspective. I don't know. Well, at least I'm not doing X.
Yeah.
Right?
At least I'm not playing when the rain is coming east and west. Yeah. And we're
good times.
Yeah. We're tough. Moms are tough.
We are. And we are trying to chase our brighter versions of ourselves, even when it's not so bright outside.
Yeah, that's right. We have to create the light from within.
Yes. Thanks for listening today. Don't forget to subscribe so you can hear our latest episodes as soon as they drop.
If you loved today's episode, share with a friend. Come visit us on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure to give us a follow. We have lots of giveaways. If you want to know more about Kelly and I, read our blogs, find more tips, tools, and resources, check that out at chasingbrighter.com. Thanks.